Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Dale Urquiaga joins us. He's had many jobs, but right now the job is author. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program Dale Urquiaga, author.
Yeah.
Pleasure to have you back on the program,
thank
sir.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I could go through the list of all your job titles over the last 20 years, but that would take up the entirety of the show. So people, Google Dale Urquiaga and you will find out everything. You've just completed A Soldier's Road, actually it's a few months ago now, which is your second book. And it's about a fictionalized version of your Basque history. Let's start out with Robert Laxalt.
Okay.
For those that may not know,
sure.
Who is Robert Laxalt?
So it's funny, I was talking about this book the other day and a lady who has moved to Nevada said, I read a book about a Basque who went home and he was an older guy. I said, was it A Sweet Promised Land? That's a Robert Laxalt book. So Robert Laxalt, of course, the governor of our former, or excuse me, the brother of our former governor and senator. Robert was a Pulitzer Prize winning author. He was instrumental in creating the Nevada Press at the university, which publishes books. And he wrote his first book, Sweet Promised Land, about his dad, who had been a sheep herder here. And then he wrote a whole series of books about, there's a book sort of about his mom, Basque Hotel. There's a book about his brother called The Governor's Mansion. And then he wrote some books about the old country too. So he is really the absolute star in Nevada authors, I think. I'm prejudiced maybe because I'm Basque. I did not know Robert. I knew Paul, his brother, but he really set the standard. For many years, his book was taught. Every freshman at UNR read that book as part of their onboarding program. I think that's still done once in a while, but he really is, he's the guy. He worked in Vietnam, I think, as a journalist as well. So he was both a journalist and a creative writer.
I was fortunate enough to get to interview him and get to know him a little. And it was interesting in our conversation, after the interview, I said to him something to the effect of, well, I'm not a journalist. I have no training in that. He said, doesn't matter. He said, you ask good questions, but more important, you listen to the answers.
That's great advice.
Very, very wise man.
Yes, very wise.
Nevada and a lot of the Western states have a great Basque culture. The Basques weren't gypsies. They came here for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. Explain, if you would.
So, sure. There was a great migration from the Basque country. And for readers who may not know, the Basques are from northern Spain and very southern France. They have lived on the Pyrenees Mountains and the steppes of those mountains for thousands of years. It is perhaps the oldest civilization, certainly the oldest language in Europe. It is not a Romance language. So, in the late 19th century and early 20th century, there was a mass migration, particularly from Spain. Spain was at war under the Carlist kings. They were at war with France in Morocco, and then they got control of Morocco, and then they were at war with Morocco. And a number of Basques, including my grandfather and my great uncle, came to this country to avoid the draft rather than be conscripted. They came here. Others came for many other reasons, typically for work. Basque people lived under the Spanish law and French law at the time, a law of primogeniture. So the eldest child got the house, everybody else got nothing. Somebody went to the priesthood or to a convent, typically, but everybody else, you better go find work. And so they often came here to the United States to find work. So there's a congregation of them in New York, there are some in Florida, there are some in California, but the great numbers came to Nevada and Idaho. And they took these jobs, many of them, as sheep herders, or my grandfather referred to himself as a buckaroo, which means he was a cattle hand, sort of, on other people's ranch. And I think over those first years of the 20th century, they built this sort of mythology about, oh, Basques are sheep herders, and they're used to, they have this independent spirit, and they will live alone on a mountaintop. Okay, that's not true. Many Basques had never seen a sheep. My grandfather lived on the ocean, and his father was a fisherman. So they came here and they took a job because they would do that job. And I refer to it as sort of as the lowest job on the totem pole in those days. Spaniards, Italians, Greeks, Portuguese were not considered white in this country at the turn of the 20th century. And so they took whatever job they could, and then they began to congregate. And so more came and more came. So Nevada and Idaho still have some of the largest groupings of Basque descendants.
Just to take a little sidebar trip here, what you say is very interesting because historically, every new group to America has faced their challenges.
Absolutely.
And everybody has had their turn in the box. And then once they became in some way assimilated into the country, then it was somebody else's turn
somebody
to be in the box,
turn.
Which is very relevant, I think,
absolutely.
Today.
My brother and I were in Kingston, which is a canyon and a creek and a ranch out by Austin in the central part of the state. And we ran across a sheep herder. And when we talked to him, he's Peruvian. And when we walked away, I said to my brother, okay, well, it's his turn. He's willing to take that job because it's a rough job. You are left on a mountain with someone else's sheep. They're not yours. Sometimes 2,000 or 3,000 of them. And they come back and check on you. But
bring
there you
food.
Are. They will bring you food, but you are out there very independent. And so, yeah, I think we all take our turn. It's why I've, the more I learn about my family's immigrant past, including the fact that they didn't all come to this country legally, I have great empathy for the conversations that we have today as a country, because they're not new conversations. We've always had these conversations.
And we always will.
We always will. We are a nation of immigrants.
It's interesting, another quick sidebar here. The current administration has proven that you can shut down a border, not all the borders, but a border.
Yeah.
I wish that the Congress would now take this opportunity to actually fix immigration law so that they can work with the people who are already here and for the people that we need, because otherwise we're looking at economic disaster if we don't figure this out, and pretty darn quickly, I believe.
If you look at the number of immigrants who hold jobs in farming, and which generates much of our food supply, and in hotels and entertainment industry, it's a staggering number. We need immigrants, and I'm with you. I wish the issue was not so politicized that they can't seem to reach a resolution in the Congress, but I don't think they have any interest in doing so.
They don't, and it's so bizarre because we go back to 1986 for the last time that it was actually really figured out for a period
for
of time.
A period.
And Nevada especially is going to suffer greatly. One of the interesting parts of that story is that around 2008, 2009, at the beginning of the recession, 60 Minutes did a piece. I think it was in Kentucky or Tennessee,
okay,
where they went to a farm and there were native white Americans who had lost their jobs, who were proud and didn't want to be on unemployment, mm-hmm. and they went to these ranches and farms to work. They lasted at most a day or two, and the ranch owners said it's not because they weren't willing to come here, they just physically could not do the work.
It's very hard work.
It's a reality.
Yeah, yep.
All right.
Hard work.
Let's get back to your books. So,
sure.
So far you've written two. How many Correct. Do you plan in this series?
So I think three, maybe four. So just to explain, the first book I wrote for the Center for Basque Studies, it won the Basque Writing Prize there at Center at UNR. It's about my mother and my grandmothers. And so it really is about the women who immigrated or were born here. My mother was born in this country. My grandmothers were born in Spain. The second book is about my uncle, my mother's brother, who served in World War II. And in that family, I sort of merge my families. The other protagonist in that book is actually an Irishman. He is my children's great-great-grandfather on their mother's side. He happens to be the father of former Congresswoman Barbara Vukanovich from Nevada. And so in my family, those two stories came together. I think I'm working on now a third book about my great uncle, who was a sheep herder. He came, and that is the first job he took. He had not done that in the old country, but he came when he was about 18. Parents were dead, and he was one of those guys that they left on a hill alone. And my family told that story for a long time, that he was terrified out there. Because in Spain, you can see the next village or you can see the next sort of road. In our mountains, you can't see anything except the next mountain,
yeah.
right? So I know that's the third book. It'll be a story sort of the sheep herder side. And then I have started what my brother refers to sort of as the book that ties them together. It's my memoir, all of those jobs you mentioned. I had a long career in public life. I worked for a lot of politicians. And I was, as they say in Hamilton, in the room where it happened an awful lot of times. And so I have written about two-thirds of that book. It's a book I don't know that I'll publish because it's about so many people who I do know and who are still alive. But I'll leave that book probably to the Special Collections Library or the Basque Library for researchers at some point.
So perhaps to be published.
When I'm dead.
Because I mean,
when they're dead.
Because, I mean, that's why the Warren Commission report has not been issued.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, the Martin Luther King research is now being released. And the reason that those were held back was, in quotes, to protect people who are still
yeah.
alive.
You also, I think what I find, writing about my family has been an interesting journey. My mother and my aunt had left wonderful, rich historical family records and oral histories. And writing about Mrs. Vukanovich's father, General Farrell, was easy. He was a very public figure. He had an incredible career in the 20th century. Writing about yourself is different. And if you know someone's going to read it, I think you self-edit. At least I do. And so I'd like to think about that book maybe as the final book about my family. And I'd like to not edit what I went through, but have it available for researchers. So we'll see how far I get. But I know the third book I hope to finish in a year. It takes me about a year and a half to 2 years to do these books if I concentrate on them. And so I think I'll finish the third next year, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Why did you make them fictionalized?
So, you know, I've been asked that a lot, and part of it is me. I like a good story, and just reciting facts gets rather boring. There were also huge gaps in these stories. My mother and my aunt had collected, as I said, great records and great memories. People's memories are not always accurate. We each remember an event differently if we
sure.
experience it.
Through their eyes.
Right. And so I wanted to tell these stories in a consumable way. I started writing these stories for my children and grandchildren. I never thought they'd be published. I wanted to sort of boil down all those family records into an easily consumable place. And I found that I needed to bridge, well, this event happened, and then some years later, this event happened, without it just being a laundry list. And so I happen to love historical fiction. My favorite author of all time is Gore Vidal, who made a career in writing historical fiction.
Right.
And so I love the act of doing the research, taking the kernel of the story that you know happened, and then filling around it to sort of explain the events. The second book, A Soldier's Road, is largely about World War II. It's about two men's journey there and then home from there after some pretty horrific events. And I don't know anything about war. I never served. I only know things about World War II because I've read it. And they were very different immigrant experiences. The general's family had immigrated two generations prior. And so I wanted to be able to tell that story, but in an arc that let the reader, particularly my children, who these are their family members, understand why it matters to them. I think the context of why those old stories matter is what's important to me.
How old are your kids at this point?
So oh gosh, I'm going to get this wrong. I'm going to go with 37 and 34.
Are they at the point where they are interested in your history?
Yeah, they've both been great. They grew up in a family of storytellers on both sides. They have, you know, relatives on both sides who have done a lot of things. So it's sort of second nature. They themselves have children now. I have six grandchildren, aged 2 to 17. And I think they understand that we want to continue to understand these stories. My son came to visit me when I lived in Washington, D.C., just prior to the pandemic. And I was telling him, look, this is where I had my first job, and this is where your great-grandmother's office was, and this is where I met your mom. And he finally said, Dad, you have to write it down. I'm not going to remember all of this. And I said, no, I remembered all this. My aunts and uncles and parents told me these things. And he said, Dad, you just have to write it down. So I really took that to heart and came home and started writing things down.
You know, my joy is this program in the sense that we've been on the air for 23 years now. It really tells Nevada's story for the last 23 years. Yep. It's remarkable. And it's a much better reading of it than I could tell.
Well, letting people tell their story, if you accumulate all those, you do get a picture of what at least is believed to be true or what is understood to have happened.
Right. So, the public version.
Yeah, I think that's important.
I think it's very important, and I think that, one of the problems with social media is a lot of people now reveal a lot of things that they should have kept to themselves, which they did until social media.
We all live our lives out loud now, and everything seems to be important. It's not, right? Like, everything's not important to the whole world. We do not all need 15 minutes of fame every day, but I do think that the underlying story is... it matters, but telling it too soon or too often or in too tiny little chunks, I'm not sure that's good for stories.
I wonder where that goes eventually.
I wonder too. I don't think it goes anyplace great.
We shall see.
But I'm old. I like books. I like people to read the whole story. I used to say I hated when I worked in government. Every document needed an executive summary. And I would say, well, why? Why don't you read the whole thing? I worked really hard on this whole thing. Why do you need a one-page summary on
you
top
see,
of that?
That's because you don't host a talk show.
That's right.
If you did, you would really appreciate it.
Everything is long form for me.
Right. Let's take a break. More with Dale Urquiaga, author. His latest book is called A Soldier's Road. His previous book is Three Wives' Tales, both available on Amazon.
Correct.
And we'll be right back.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Orrin Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys who will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Orrin Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org. Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dale Urquiaga, currently author. We never know what he might be in the future, even though he claims to be retired. He's the author. His latest book is A Soldier's Road and Three Wives' Tale. In A Soldier's Road, you write about your uncle, who was wounded horribly in Okinawa.
Correct.
And you parallel that with a story about Tom Farrell, who is the deputy commander of the Manhattan Project, who inspected Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, we've spoken earlier in the program that some of this stuff is fictionalized. Mm-hmm. What is reality? What is fictionalized here?
Sure.
Or at least tell us the reality.
Yep. So the reality, my uncle was born in Paradise Valley outside Winnemucca, grew up there and in Kingston, worked through the Depression, and was ultimately drafted and served in World War II. He was a tank driver in the Army. He was private, first class. He was wounded on Okinawa and then went through a series over 2 years, over two dozen operations. It was horrifying. He lost his leg, nearly lost his arm, weighed about 80 pounds at one point in a full body cast, missing a leg. So really horrific. Came home, lived out his life. That's all true. General Farrell, very different story. Born in upstate New York, the son of Irish farmers, graduated from Rensselaer Technical Institute. He was an engineer. And he has this incredible career. His first job, worked in New York on the canals. He worked on the Panama Canal. He served in World War I, was decorated there in the Army Corps of Engineers. He then was director of canals and waterways for Governor Smith of New York and Governor Roosevelt of New York. He was called back to service in 1940 to prepare for the war. And in 42, he was put in charge of construction of housing for soldiers and ultimately built the Burma Road between to serve China in its opposition to Japan. And then when the Manhattan Project was underway, he was tapped to be deputy commander at the end of the project. And General Groves is the most famous person associated on the military side, and of course Oppenheimer on the scientific side. That's all true. He then served as the targeting committee. They picked Hiroshima and Nagasaki for reasons. And when the bombs were dropped, he recorded it. He sent the memo back to the White House about that, as he did about the first test, the Trinity test. And then he went on the scientific expedition. I've read all those memos and all those reports. That's all true. He then went back and was on a committee to understand when they were testing the bombs on the Bikini Atoll. And he went on to head New York City Housing before he retired. He went back into the nuclear regulatory industry for a while, first to the commission and then in private sector life. So he has this incredible career of building stuff. And yet one moment in time, where he destroyed two cities and 100,000 people immediately died. Probably 300,000 died over time. So it's a really pivotal point for this guy who built things to destroy them. And so in this book, all that's true. What's not true is they never met. And in my book, they meet. The general comes to visit a hospital where men like my uncle were recuperating. And I have him do that to understand why they dropped the bombs. They had good reason to do what they did. And that's because they think a million men would have died or been wounded like my uncle had they not done so. And so the book then is about their correspondence and their exchange. And then the book ultimately ends with the general's daughter, Mrs. Vukanovich, when I met her. So I appear in the last part of this book.
Okay, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation. And a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. but it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times are train wreck.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dale Urquiaga, currently author, and his latest book is called A Soldier's Road, available on Amazon. You mentioned Barbara Vukanovich. Give me one sentence to describe Barbara Vukanovich's career.
Absolutely dedicated to public service and improving the world that she lived in. She was born to privilege, but had some tough challenges through her life. And I think she knew that everybody had challenges like that and wanted everybody to have as much privilege as she had had.
When she was, I believe, 92, I was at a party with her and she said, "Sam, I can't believe how I got here." Next show, let's talk more about her.
Happy to do that.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Thanks for watching and listening.